It's quite funny. I think there was a rumor going around that I was scared of whales, which I wouldn't say I'm not, though. It's, for what I'm hearing, orcas are starting to take down boats now. So that's, you know, so yeah, if a whale came towards me and I was in the water with it, I'd be worried. My name's Ross Potter. I'm a Gamilaroi man. I'm a visual artist living in Wajak Noongarrbuja in Wayalup, and I'm here to talk about my fear of the ocean. I always used to be weary of just walking into waves. Just always, I'd see my friends diving in under waves, and I'd sort of built the courage up over time to do it and got through this weariness. It was always drilled into us. My dad was a hardcore fisherman. He was not scared of anything. He literally was not scared of anything. He'd fish on the Daintree River, and which was crocodile infested, and he'd just do crazy things to catch fish. Basically, he just loved living off the land. And but my mum had a great fear of the just little things like seaweed and stuff like that. So we always got this sort of this sort of panickiness about crocodiles, Irrigangi, the plants want to kill you. There's toads everywhere. It was pretty bad. We live right near a river and an inlet to the ocean, which crocodiles would use that to change rivers and things. So you just never went in the water, basically. That was the golden rule. Just don't go in the water. And done that. Then we lived very close to where Steve Irwin was killed. And then, you know, through my teens, and I got over it a bit and just started, you know, swimming as a normal person would on the Gold Coast and visiting the Gold Coast quite often there in my early 20s. And then one day I just dived in and a jellyfish hit me right in the face. And it was just that, it didn't sting me too bad. It got my shoulder pretty bad, but it was just that, okay, finally, I don't care. I'm free. I'm diving into waves. And then all of a sudden this jelly, I just see the water just got even blurrier and then slack right in my face. And so I end up with this funny rash on my face and shoulder. And as I said, like, it didn't sting me too bad. It didn't get my eye or anything. But I just remember that feeling just like, oh, finally I've gotten somewhere with this ocean. And then the ocean's throwing a jellyfish at my head. And so ever since then, it just sort of like, oh, I kind of avoided the ocean a lot for years. And then spending time in Far North Queensland, you avoided it even more. But looking at, you know, we do look at this big shiny surface. You just don't know what's under the layer. Like, there's just so much. There's a whole ecosystem going on that we just don't really see, you know, as part from the bird life and things going on it. But what goes on below the surface? And we always talk about property development when we talk about water rising. You know, we talk about what's houses going to do. We talk about the, yeah, but imagine the amount of sea life that's going to get thrown off course when things aren't in the spots that they used to be, you know. And that's what I thought about a lot. And seeing, there was actually a newspaper article with a little beached humpback that my father-in-law was actually one of the crews trying to get it back in the water. So it was this really quite intense photo of him and a few others trying to get this little humpback calf in the water. And it was just so, I was sort of looking at that experience as well. And that was just in Fremantle. And so you just think, you know, why is this sort of animal that's evolved to such an amazing navigational sort of instincts? Why is it getting so lost, you know? And then if the waters do rise and the coastlines do change, what's that going to change even more? And so I really wanted to just get something really obscure from the ocean and put it up. And so then we decided, let's just draw a life-size humpback whale, and, you know, then people can actually see it up close in a context that you couldn't see it in, like out on dry land. And so we ended up, the first key was to find a whale. We only had 10 meters to work with the artwork, and which the humpbacks can get much larger, but they get, I think, up to about 16, I've heard. And so the plan was to get out in the ocean as much as possible, which I wasn't too keen on doing, but the whale watch company we were going through were really obliging, and they said, just come out with us as much as you want and get whatever photos you need. So I'm assuming I'm going to get some photos. We're using quite a long lens, and I'm thinking we're going to get maybe a nice little shot of one breaching, maybe, you know, in the distance somewhere. And when we first got out the very first day, we saw some breaching in the distance. But, you know, I'm thinking, I can't work with this. I'm not going to be able to get a very good shot of a whale. And so the plan was then, okay, let's come out as much as possible, get whatever details we can, and then make like a Frankenstein whale to suit the size of the artwork. As I'm thinking about all the ways to go about it while we're on the boat, and seeing that we couldn't get close enough to one, a young male humpback actually came straight up to the side of the boat, and we've got footage of about, he was there with us for about 25 minutes and just kept bobbing up and down, checking us out. And it was really funny. I don't know. They suggested that he might have thought the boat was a female and coming up to check it out. But then obviously he was curious and he just kept bobbing up and down, and it was really amazing. So we got all these shots of this whale and got as many details as we could. And he was only a young adolescent humpback. And so we all guessed that he was about 8 to 10 meters long. So in the drawing, I've drawn it at 9 meters long. And it was just perfect. It was just the perfect experience, the perfect sized animal. And then I could keep it as real as possible. And for the details that I couldn't see, I just couldn't get his eye. I couldn't get a shot of his eye. Every time there was a water ripple over it or something. So we had to sort of look through some old sort of photographs that they had from the Whale Watch Company. And then I got to talk to some marine biologists and sort of just understand where things were, make sure there was no gills or anything silly on it. And, you know, and as much as I know about a whale's anatomy, and had to just see what it would look like from the side because we couldn't see it from the side. And so that was, yeah, it's quite an amazing experience to sort of work with this little whale community and an actual whale that we spotted. So all the scarring on him will be very accurate, and making sure all the shape of his fluke, all those little things and everything would just be in place as good as I could do it from the photos and the footage that we got. That was such an amazing experience to sort of go through all that, and then also to draw it in public as well in the Maritime Museum in Fremantle. It was just seeing people seeing this simple form of sketching done at a really large scale. And now it lives at Bulabardip, so I'm pretty stoked with that. The artwork it's about 10 meters long and about 3 meters high. It consists of 9 paper panels that are all put onto aluminium or block mounted onto aluminium. So they're basically the artwork makes a giant wall in itself. And it's just a really big flat sheet of paper now. And so using graphite pencils, just rendering in the image and drawing as realistically as I could. So it's basically just a very large black and white sketch, a black and white drawing, I should say, of a humpback whale. I worked on it upright. So that the reason we put it onto aluminium was because we had nowhere to hang it. So we didn't have a wall to put paper on, so we had to make our own. And so we just hung it on some rafters. But I started in the studio. Whenever I'm doing a really large scale work, I try and get the high bits done first. So I had all these ladders set up and get all high bits because you don't want to do that in public. You don't want to be talking to people and up and down off ladders. And then so once I basically work like a, now I always say typewriter here, but I don't think anyone knows what a typewriter is anymore. Like a printer, like I work in little stripes. So I would have worked across the top bits and then work my way down, and it'd literally be like watching a printer work, going in rows and then just building up the tones of the graphite until it gets this sort of realistic sort of texture going with it. Yeah. And that's probably the trickiest thing, is to try and think of, I only draw things that I've actually had a connection with. This is just a visual connection, but I don't know what a whale feels like, but I have to try and recreate what it would feel like. Things like I drew Trisha from Perth Zoo, the old elephant, and that was an absolutely amazing experience. So I got to go up close and touch her. I got to be here. I could smell her, and I actually got to feed her, and we got to hang out for a little bit. And so I knew what she felt like. I knew what to draw. But with the whale, I had to just really go off what everyone, all the experiences. I talked to my father-in-law about the whale that he was trying to rescue and the marine biologists, and just trying to think of, and I learned so much, like how sensitive they are, how their body works and how they've evolved. And it was just a really cool experience to just get so in depth. I do think about that whale quite often, and there was someone who suspected that it had been beached, but that's a long shot. And I'm not really willing to go investigate the photos to find out. It'd be a bit heartbreaking. But one thing I always got, the main question I got with the whale was, did you give it a name? And I was like, oh, it probably already had a name. And people weren't happy with that answer, so I called it Steve. And I wasn't happy with that answer either, so. But yeah, I thought, how arrogant for me to meet this whale and go, oh, I'm going to name you. That's sort of, yeah, we've had that problem through our history, haven't we? So. So I preferred having nameless in my head. But yeah, it was such a beautiful experience, and I almost, I don't want to get too wishy-washy, but I feel like he knew he was getting his portrait done that day, you know, and spent so much time with us. It was phenomenal. Like, it felt like it was hours. It was literally 25 minutes, but it felt like a lifetime in that little moment. And it was quite a beautiful experience. I had a friend that told me that I need to get over my fear of the ocean and go free diving. And it's like, well, if I was a pirate or a sailor, maybe, but I'm not. I'm a land-dwelling mammal, you know. That's the way I like it. Thank you.